Yeah, so for motherhood, again, the Enneagram is telling you why, right? So if there are some things that you struggle with in motherhood, like loss of identity, for example, you can look at your Enneagram type and think like, why do I feel like I'm losing my identity, right? And how do I like regain that confidence or regain, that thing that's missing?
Hi, I'm Amy Kiefer, a nurse, doula, and personal trainer.
And I'm Crystal Howald, a women's health and orthopedic physical therapist.
We're the co-founders of Expecting and Empowered, and we just so happen to be sisters. We built this business because we saw a huge gap between the information that women were given during pregnancy and postpartum and the information that they need. We're committed to helping close the gap so that women are better equipped to navigate these demanding and challenging years.
Yes, we're both moms of three, so we know firsthand how many changes women go through physically, mentally, and emotionally because women aren't getting enough information to make informed decisions about their own health. It leaves mothers picking up the pieces afterwards. We need that to change.
With our professional backgrounds, we're going to pull the curtain back on this season and give you the information you need to thrive.
We're on a mission to change women's health. Let's do this.
Okay, you guys, today we have the pleasure of talking with Ashton from Enneagram on Ashton on Instagram. She is a mom of two, the author of Enneagram Made Simple book, and loves helping people understand their Enneagram and themselves better. I would love if you would tell me a little bit more about yourself and how you got so interested in Enneagrams.
Yeah, so hi everyone. My name is Ashton Whitmire-Ober. Like she said, I'm Enneagram Ashton on Instagram. And I got started even like learning about the Enneagram because my background is in psychology. So I'm a psychologist by trade. And when I was in my master's program for community psychology, is when we started learning about like how all of these different like tools can help us better understand others. But when I learned about the Enneagram, I was like, wow, this is incredible because it's different from other tests that tell us like who we are. And instead, it talks about like why we are the way we are or why we do things the way that we do. And so that can just be super helpful when trying to like understand our behaviors and understand other people's behaviors and things like that. So I really just started my Instagram account to like share what I was learning, and it kind of blew up pretty quickly. And from there, I ended up getting certified to be an Enneagram educator and consultant, and then took it full time not too long after that. So I typically travel and speak to groups and organizations on how they can use the Enneagram to, increase communication, decrease conflict, just strengthen those relationships as a whole. So I travel across the country, actually international starting this year, which is very exciting. And just want to spread, I'm a two, the helper. So I just want to like spread this knowledge to other people to help them better understand themselves and others.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So I talk a lot to my patients in the clinic about the Enneagram, but one thing that I've found is that a lot of people don't know what the Enneagram is like. And I definitely do not have the certification, but I'd love for you to explain to our listeners what the Enneagram is, and then how do you know which Enneagram number you are? There's nine of them.
So the Enneagram is an ancient typing system. And I say ancient because it actually has been around for between 2 to 4,000 years. It's so old that we can't actually pinpoint the exact like time that it began. But it has been a tool to explain nine different lenses of personality or nine different lenses to view the world. So essentially, we all have an Enneagram type and we view the world based on those motivations and those fears. So let's say that Enneagram twos are wearing blue colored glasses and Enneagram threes are wearing green colored glasses. Everything that a two looks at is going to have that blue tint to it. Everything that a three looks at is going to have that green tint to it. So twos and threes could be looking at the same situation, but viewing it differently based on your type. Of course, there are going to be tests out there that you can take to try to determine your type. And I always say that tests are a good place to start, but it really is up to you to dive deeper into seeing what resonates with you. So I recommend tests that will give you like a probability instead of it shooting out a result and saying, like, you are a seven. It says, or it gives you like a pie chart or a list of like, okay, you scored a 26 for a seven, a 24 for a three, to give you a top three results. And then it really is up to you to dive deeper into what that looks like and what that, how that shows up in your life.
So do you have a test on your website?
So I don't have a test. I typically recommend the Truity test or the Enneagram Institute, which I can send you links for both of those to include in the show notes.
Yeah, we can totally include those.
Because I just didn't, I went down this path in my business of being like, I'm gonna create a test. And then I was like, if I'm the one that's sitting here and being like, tests aren't like the greatest place. I felt weird about creating a test as well as like creating one that was accurate, you know? It felt like a
Yeah.
big responsibility. So I have different like resources to help you figure out your type once you've like taken a test. But I don't have a test that I've created myself.
Oh, well, those that tests are a great place to start. I do think, okay, so I'm an Enneagram 7, but like that makes sense to me because I feel like at first, when I started learning about the Enneagram, I know you're not supposed to do this either, but somebody told me, like, you are a three. Like, I would bet my life on it that you're a three. And so I kind of like went through this identity crisis, which sounds very weird, but I thought I was a three because a lot of the characteristics sounded like me, but there was some that like really, really did not resonate with me. And then I figured out I was a seven and did more research. I was like, oh, this it like makes so much sense. And so for me personally, I find it so helpful in how I interact with people. And then also if I know what other people's Enneagrams are. So for example, my husband's a one. Enneagram ones and sevens like kind of need each other because my husband's very organized, like has all that. And a seven is an enthusiast. So like I'm like a dog with my ear up, like, where's the next good time? Always like looking for fun and adventurous stuff. So I feel like I can really empathize with my husband's perspective now that I know his Enneagram type, because I feel like before I had a really hard time understanding like the world's not black and white. There's not one way to do things. And then the more I understand about his Enneagram, like the more I can come at him with like compassion, I can have an easier time meeting him in the middle. Whereas before, I was like, dude, you need to like chill. You're working up. Like, so how do you think it would be helpful for people to know their Enneagram? Like, why do you encourage people to get to know their Enneagram?
So it's super important to start to understand why you do things the way that you do, because you can then start to change behaviors that you might not like, right? So I'll just call myself out, like as an Enneagram 2, when I got started on this journey, it was something that I really struggled with, was like caring a lot about what people think about me, right? And like really just getting stuck in, you know, what people are thinking, if they like me, et cetera, et cetera. What I realized is that as an Enneagram 2, I care about that because I want to be loved and wanted and needed. And so if I know that, then I can start to change those behaviors because I know that I can't put that desire to be loved and wanted on other people. Like that comes from internally, right? So if we start to understand why we behave a certain way, then we can ultimately change those behaviors. I also wanted to go back to something that you said about your friend saying that you're a three, because people will always try to like type other people, or we think that we know what other people may be, but it's just important to remember that what they're seeing are behavior traits, right? And not your motivation. So you might look a lot like a three. And so that's where people can get confused with trying to figure out their type, is they might look at those behaviors like, yeah, as a three, I'm motivated, I'm driven, I have this need to succeed, but those are all behavior traits. And so why you have those behaviors could be determined by the seven's motivations, which people aren't seeing externally, right? So just something to, I had a similar experience where, my family members swore up and down that I was a three, and I was like, no, just because I have my own business and I like am always, driven and motivated and encouraging of other people, my motivations line with the two.
Oh my gosh, that is so great. Wait, can we just like tell people quickly what they are? Like, what is a one, two, a three?
Yeah, absolutely. So an Enneagram one is the reformer. So their biggest desire is to be seen as a good person, to be moral, ethical, right, and to do the right thing. Their biggest fear then is being wrong, doing the wrong thing, other people doing the wrong thing, just, in general, being seen as bad. So like unethical. The two is the helper. Their biggest desire is to be loved, wanted, appreciated, needed. And then their biggest fear is being unloved, unwanted, unappreciated. The three is the achiever. So their biggest desire is to be successful. Like they do want to be successful, but then they also want to be valued and respected for the things that they're doing. And then their biggest fear is failure. So they do fear failure the most. But then they also fear, being disrespected or being invalued or seen as incompetent. The four is the individualist. So their biggest desire is to be seen as unique, significant, special in some way, just like different, set apart. And then their biggest fear is that something is inherently wrong with them. They're defective. They're insignificant, things like that. The five is the investigator. So their biggest desire is to be knowledgeable. They want to know the things, and then they want other people to know that they know the things. And then because of that knowledge, they want to be seen as competent and capable. And then their biggest fear is ignorance. So like not knowing something or being seen as incompetent. The six is the loyalist. So their biggest desire is safety. So they really appreciate feeling safe, secure, seeking guidance from other people. And then their biggest fear is typically fear itself. So sixes have the strongest connection to fear as a whole. And then they also fear being without security or guidance. The seven is the enthusiast. So their biggest desire is to have fun. So they do like to have fun and they do, but ultimately they are seeking contentment. And so they often, engage in like new experiences, new adventures because they're searching for that contentment piece. And then their biggest fear is they do have FOMO. So they do have that fear of missing out, but then they also fear being trapped in any sort of emotional pain or negativity or like discomfort. The eight is the challenger. So their biggest desire is to protect themselves and other people. Typically, this looks like their people or people that they feel need to be protected, vulnerable populations, things like that. And then their biggest fear is being seen as weak, powerless, or controlled in some way. And then the nine is the peacemaker. So their biggest desire is to maintain a peaceful environment for themselves, for the people around them. And then their biggest fear is conflict. That's not saying that other types also disliked conflict. It's just that it makes up their biggest desire or their biggest fear is that conflict piece. And then they also fear being like separated from the people that they love, being abandoned, things like that.
Oh my gosh, I think those things are so helpful. And like you said, we have bits and pieces of all of them. One thing that is so interesting with the Enneagram too is how it plays into like how we function, right? So often we get asked on Instagram a lot, like, how are you guys so motivated to exercise? And I don't think that we're necessarily like motivated to exercise. It's like really become a habit. But then we started to write a blog post actually about the Enneagram and exercise. And I found it so interesting because I think there's just little different bits of each of our personalities that would either help us or hinder creating healthy habits like exercise or eating well. So could you go through the different Enneagrams and maybe how your personality helps or hinders adding exercise to your routine?
Yeah, for sure. And it's so interesting because when we think about exercise as a whole, like we do think about motivation or lack of motivation, right? And so then when we're talking about the Enneagram, we're also talking about like what motivates us. And so there are clear connections, I feel personally, between how we can utilize the Enneagram to either increase motivation or like figure out what it is that's holding us back from establishing an exercise routine. Even when thinking about like myself in this and like making the time for myself to actually do that, I was like, oh yeah, I can totally see my Enneagram type and like why it's difficult for me to do that. But for ones, they're going to really value an exercise routine because of what that is, right? Like ones really value routine and structure and a plan. And so like they, and not saying that like all ones have established an exercise routine, but as long as it is something that's able to be planned out, they might be just more like intrinsically motivated to be able to do that. What might get in the way of an exercise routine is like if they feel like they should be doing something else. So like ones always have like this case of the shoulds, like I should be, unloading the dishwasher, I should be cleaning my house, things like that.
And then, do you think for ones too, like with that perfectionist type mindset, it can be hard in motherhood? Because I feel like you almost have to like change your ideal about what that exercise routine looks like. Because with little kids,
Yeah.
lots of interruptions, or it doesn't look like maybe how it looked pre-kids.
Right. So, ones in general kind of struggle with flexibility. And as we all know, with, mom life in general, there has to be a little sense of flexibility at times, right? And specifically with working out, you might have, interruptions in your workout routine. You might have kids coming in, climbing on your back, whatever that looks like. And so being able to adjust to those situations.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so two, since this is your
Two,
area,
yeah.
tell me what you
Yeah.
need to do to get
Maybe you
more.
can remotivate me. So for twos, they're like bu too busy taking care of everybody else to take care of themselves. That's really what it is. So twos.
Would you argue maybe twos might be the hardest Enneagram to get on board then?
It could be, right? Because they just feel twos tend to like struggle with a lot of guilt and shame. And so they're like, it's similar to ones where they're like, I, should be taking care of my kids or spending more time with my kids. So I think of myself who, has a child that doesn't nap anymore. And so it was easier for me to do things, obviously, when she would nap. And so now it's like, oh, if I go and do this thing for myself, then I'm taking time away from spending time with her. So I think that can really be difficult for twos, specifically, just being able to do something for themselves. And but it also, can f that switch can flip when they're like, no, I'm doing this to be there for my kids, right? Or like I'm, so if they flip that mindset of like, I'm actually doing this for somebody else versus themselves, because it's really hard for them to do things for themselves.
Totally. And I think there's so much actual literature on that. Like the healthier a mom is, or the more that they exercise, the more benefits that you actually see in your own children. So I do think that is such a valid point. So all twos, love that.
We wanted to take a short break and let you know that this podcast episode is brought to you by the Expecting and Empowered app, which is your complete roadmap to an empowered and strong pregnancy and postpartum. As busy moms ourselves, we know that your time is valuable. Our app workouts are designed to be done in just 30 minutes and will help you in pregnancy to prepare for your labor and in postpartum to heal progressively and safely. You can work out knowing the exercises are safe for you exactly where you are in motherhood, and all you have to do is press play. If you want to join the thousands of other women on the Expecting and Empowered app, you can use the promo code podcast25 for 25% off a month or a year. You can work out for just $10 a month when you sign up for the year. Visit app.expectingandempowered.com to sign up today. We'll also put that in the show notes. We'll see you in the app.
And then three is, what do you think about three as an exercise?
So threes are like typically naturally motivated. They might not have a difficult time like being motivated to exercise or establish a workout routine. For them, it would be if like their work or like other things are keeping them too busy. But they're naturally competitive. They naturally, want to compete with themselves, right? And like have a routine in that sort of way. So for threes, I just don't see it hindering as much as some of the other types.
Yeah. And I think too, like when you have to start working out from home, do you think that could be hard for a three too? Because like they thrive on the like community in the gym, the
Yeah.
competition. I could totally see that being difficult for a three.
Yeah. Especially like some threes are way more competitive with themselves than others. But if you're a three that is like more competitive with other people and like seeing the other people in the establishment kind of like gets you even more motivated, like that can be difficult.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't know that. That so threes are usually more competitive with themselves than.
There are some threes that are more competitive with themselves. And so they might, thrive more in an in a home workout experience, but then some of the threes that, are more competitive with others would do better in, out of the house, being able to like see other people doing the same thing as them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And then for my fours, what do you think is difficult or easy with them with exercise?
So for fours, they don't want to do something that's just like other people. So they have to, really like feel in alignment with it. They have to be passionate about it. Their emotions and their feelings like have to be tied into it. So it's going to be different for each four, right? Like some fours will feel passionate about exercise and then it's easier for them to like establish a routine, whereas some fours don't feel passion and then that might be difficult for them to like get started. There has to be like a why, a t tied into why a four is doing something.
Oh, interesting. And then what about Enneagram fives?
So fives are super knowledge based, right? So they're going to be focused on like the research associated with exercise. Like, what is this doing for me? How is this bettering me? What do I need to do to like sh show up in that sort of way? They probably will thrive with an in-home workout routine because they are the most introverted of all the types. So too many people around might be overwhelming to them. And so, they might just do better like on their own schedule, their own time, spending time in their head and really coming up with like the research for why this is important.
Oh my gosh, when we haven't yet, but when we do post that blog post with the Enneagrams, I'm gonna put so much research in there that makes it
Yeah.
undeniable to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
But what about six?
So sixes, they have this need to feel safe and secure. And so it's the same with like their workout routine or their workout structure is like they want to make sure that it feels like safe to them. And whether that be like in the comfort of their own home, similarly to fives, like it just might feel better to be in whatever feels comfortable to them. So, if they're let's say like joining a gym or something, like that's going to be difficult for them to feel comfortable at first, right? So they might feel more comfortable at home as well. But what will motivate them to establish a workout routine is like that security piece. Like if they feel secure in what they're doing, comfortable in what they're doing, if they feel confident in doing the things, then that will motivate them to continue.
Okay, and then the enthusiasts, the sevens, what do you think about those guys?
Well, it has to be fun. Like that's what makes up the sevens really, whole being is like the workout routine and to establish that continuity for them or that consistency is it's going to keep needing to be something new, something fun, something that energizes them, something that like keeps bringing them back, right? Sevens sometimes struggle with focus and so they can like get easily distracted or like move on from something that like isn't fulfilling them in that sort of area, right? And so in order to be content, it needs to be fun.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And I feel like my brain is like a squirrel just looking for a nut all the time, like in so many different places. So then when I read that about exercise and like having a very routine, I was like, wait, why don't I get expected or get bored with our expecting and empowered workouts? Because I was like, they kind of are a routine. But then I was like, that makes sense though, because they change all the time. So
Yeah,
either
they
I'm doing
change.
all the same stuff, or I could go back in there and I can pick different stuff because I've been doing them for so long. I was like,
Right.
oh, I'm not bored with them. But it makes sense if they are changing.
Well, you're not just like going to the gym, walking on the treadmill for 10 minutes, doing weights, getting on the elliptical. Like, you're not doing that, right? Like, that can be boring. But something that's like different every day, you can pick and choose what you want to do, right? Like, that's the kind of flexibility that a seven needs.
Okay, cool. And then what about eight, the challenger? Do they need to come up with their own exercise routines or?
Yeah, so they, really thrive on like being in control or seeing the big picture. So when it comes to exercise, like, they're going to want to look at the big picture. What is this doing for me? What is my end goal? As well as being able to like dictate what it is that they're doing. They are also the ones that typically are like, go big or go home. So they can really, get into like excessive exercising, meaning like they're really great at committing to like 5 days in a row, going and exercising every day, but then they might like slip off and then they're like, okay, now I'm not exercising at all. So it's like that all or nothing mentality.
Oh, and I feel like that could be really hard if you were postpartum because you
Yeah.
know, the ability to like slow down. Because at first, too, like in our guides, a lot of it is like breathing or connecting to your pelvic floor. So I could see how that might be like challenging to like peel
Yes.
back before they like hit the pavement for like a 4 mile
Yeah.
run or something.
Yeah, they might feel like that's a waste of time, or like it's not big
Oh,
enough,
please no. That's
I
so
know.
important.
I know, I know.
That's literally your foundation to get back to your triathlons, okay, eight?
Yeah.
So you better do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then last, what about the nine? What do you think they need to get in the habit of exercising?
Nines in general typically have a difficult time like getting started, so they might need a lot of encouragement. So like a push to move forward, just the confidence that they can do it. But when it comes to like their workout environment, remember I said their biggest desire is to like have a peaceful environment, right? So again, they're going to want to make sure like everything is okay in their environment before they like press play on the workout. So whether that be like, the lights are on a certain level or their kids are asleep or like whatever that looks like, their environment is really key to that. But like I said, they might need some motivation and then they can do it. They just need like that push to get started.
Oh my gosh. So then I wonder, everybody that does our challenges, if they're all nines. No, just kidding. That's probably not true. But it does seem like people love those challenges. And maybe it's
Yeah.
just the push or the Monday. Maybe nines are big Monday people. We're going to start this on Monday.
Yeah, right. So like, okay, it's Wednesday and I'm motivated, but like, it's the middle of the week. Let's just wait till Monday. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is so helpful with exercise. But too, now that we're going through these, I just really think that for other people, understanding their Enneagram, their personality type, I think just in motherhood, which would you agree that like when I listen to a lot of the Enneagram stuff, I feel like it's a really male dominated field. Like there's a lot of males, like I don't feel like there's a ton of females that are like educating on it, but I do think that this knowledge could be so helpful in motherhood and partnership when you're
Yeah.
partnering with other people. So what are some other ways that we could use the Enneagram to like overcome some of those struggles that we see in motherhood or our partnership? And I know that's like a very broad question, but I just think that it is so helpful. Like in the clinic, the people that I've gotten to like dive down the rabbit hole a little bit with me. They're like, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. This makes so much sense. 'Cause then of course you can like go in once you know you and your partner and be like, what are
Right.
our sticking points? And I'm like, oh, how do they know this?
Right.
So
Yeah.
I do think it is a helpful tool for moms. That what do you think is the biggest struggle or barrier or way that we could use this to help us in motherhood?
Yeah, so for motherhood, again, the Enneagram is telling you why, right? So if there are some things that you struggle with in motherhood, like loss of identity, for example, you can look at your Enneagram type and think like, why do I feel like I'm losing my identity, right? And how do I like regain that confidence or regain, that thing that's missing? So, it can also tell you why you parent the way that you do, why you discipline the way that you do. Like, it's all about that why and how that explains so many different things.
Oh my gosh, I think that should be your next book, like
Yeah.
the Enneagram for Moms.
I would love to talk more. Obviously, now when I started this, I wasn't a parent. And now that I'm a mom of two kids, the way that I view the Enneagram is also very different, right? Because I'm using it in all of these different facets of my life. Whereas before, like I did have my husband, my partner, and it has like completely changed our relationship because I understand things about him. He understands things about me that like we do very differently, that we were like, why do you care so much about that? And like, vice versa. Also, the relationship like with family members, like with my sister, is probably the relationship I talk about the most because we're just polar opposites. She's an eight and I'm a two. And how just like we're able to understand each other on such a deeper level than we were previously. So it can just, lead to such greater understanding, not just with yourself, but with how you view others as well.
Yeah, I think that's honestly one of the biggest things I've got from the Enneagram. I read this book that I thought was great. It's called Nonviolent Communication. And so it's basically teaching what they probably should have taught us in like grade school, like
Right.
proper communication, basically like truly listening to the other side, empathizing with the other side, and then also tying an emotion to like what you want. But to the like from that book, it's hard to figure out how to empathize with the other side. And that's where I found the Enneagram so helpful because I feel
Yes.
like if you know a little bit more, you can like truly empathize with them on such a deeper level, which I feel like is almost like having somebody's playbook. And I don't mean that in like a malicious lit way, like you would want to like use that against them. I never think that that's a great use of the tool, but like to really like empathize, I think people want to be seen. Like I want to be seen.
Totally.
People want to be like seen and heard. And that's where I've just found this is just such a powerful tool to use to
Yeah.
be able to like almost get like a little understanding on the inside for people.
Yeah, because once you understand why people do things the way that they do, you can start to offer them more empathy and compassion for the way that they do things, right? And I mean, we all obviously know that the way that we do something is not like the one and only way. But when you start learning about the Enneagram, you start to have that light bulb moment of like, oh yeah, other people do things differently and that's okay, right? And I think that that is difficult to understand until you start to know other people's motivations.
Oh my gosh, I think this is so great. So I think I would love if people understood their Enneagram a little bit more. So tell me, Ashton, where people can learn more from you, where they can follow you to get more of this Enneagram information. It literally, you guys, has been life-changing for me to understand myself.
I'm
And I
so
love
glad.
some of your posts. So you guys have to follow her on Instagram because A, when you see your number hit, and then it's like, oh yeah, this is me. And also, too, I feel like it's like you're continuing to understand and learn yourself. Just how you said, like in motherhood, you've transitioned and you've used Enneagram in a different way. I really do feel like it can help you grow and blossom in different seasons of your life. So tell me where we can hear from you and learn more about the Enneagram.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Enneagram Ashton on Instagram. You can go to my website at enneagramashton.com. I would love to connect with you and hear from you.
Great. And then, you guys, today, if you liked the episode, make sure to hit the follow button or send a friend that you would think would love this content, and we'll talk soon.